If you like what you're hearing, why not try a StephCast subscription? Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Go to StephanieMiller.com to find out how.
Why, who is it, Chris?
It's the author of the new book, A Time to Lead, General Wesley Clark.
What are the chances that that would happen right when I said the thing about... Good morning, General Clark.
Good morning, Stephanie.
How are you, sir?
Well, I'm great after a build-up like that.
I always give you a big escalation every time you come on.
I appreciate you.
So the big news is that you've endorsed Hillary Clinton for president.
Yes, I did. I think she's the right person at this time, and I think she's going to be a great president and a great commander-in-chief.
Now, is there a betting pool yet as to whether you will be vice president or secretary of defense yet?
Look, I haven't considered anything like that. I haven't talked about anything like that.
Oh, but I hope it happens.
Well, thank you very much. I'd love the opportunity to serve again, but this is really about trying to help America make the right choice in the 2008 election, and I just felt like I wasn't going to run, and I wanted to do my part and do what I could to help, and this is my way of helping.
That was my dream that died this year, you not running, but I've tried to soldier on. Now,
hey, we can all have dreams.
And most of my dreams have died, General.
My dream wasn't about me. It's about America, and that's why I wrote this book, and that's why I got into politics in the first place.
Well, I mean, talk about what the book is about, because, you know, I think you saw the latest story over the weekend. It's just that the story goes on and on that Al-Qaeda is getting stronger and stronger and stronger, largely due to our distraction in Iraq, and it just seems criminal, almost, that the country is in this position.
Well, you know, in order to succeed in the world, you have to know who you are as a country. And I wanted to write a book about who we are as Americans. And the only way I knew how to write it was to... I've lived all over America. I've lived from the East Coast to West Coast, the North to South. I was born in the North, grew up in the segregated Arkansas, fought in Vietnam, and I've seen America from abroad. And I wanted to combine all that into a story about America. And so I wrote about it through the lens of having lived it.
Yep. Well, I mean, you know, and even General Petraeus, who you just wrote a piece on the on his testimony in the Washington Post. I mean, you know, when John Warner asked him, is this making us safer? I mean, he couldn't answer, right? Because, I mean, that's a Bush talking point that's not correct.
Well, the point is, he should answer what's within his competence to answer. So there wasn't an Al-Qaeda in Iraq before we invaded Iraq. So now, you know, we may be doing a great job fighting it. We may have taken it down from 2,000 or 3,000 mean people to 1,000, but they weren't there at all before we invaded Iraq.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, and you called, you know, you talked about as a general yourself being in the position of having any credibility after 4.5 years of a cakewalk gone wrong. I mean,
right.
You know,
it's a tough problem.
But in general, I mean, I think what the American people are getting so disgusted with is their intelligence being insulted. I mean, these troops were scheduled to come home anyway. This is not any kind of withdrawal.
That's exactly right. The truth is we don't have enough men and women in uniform to keep the surge going for as long as maybe General Petraeus would have wanted it to go. And look, when you're a general, you have to ask for more forces. I mean, that's the basic rule is when you're a general, you can't lose. But there's only so many forces he can have. So these forces are coming home. The administration's trying to make a virtue out of necessity here because they've got to bring these troops home.
What do you think of Senator Jim Webb's idea about giving the troops more rest between deployments, which would, of course, force a more major drawdown, right?
Well, I know it's one effort for Congress to reassert its authority. Look, by the Constitution, Congress is the authority to raise and maintain an army. And that's the language of the Constitution. And that's its duty. So Jim Webb and other senators and congressmen have every right to be concerned about the fact that our armed forces is being eroded by these repeated combat tours without enough time for the troops and their families to recover. That's the sustainment of the force.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you know, again, I think it's just this dog and pony show that, you know, when they use these phony statistics, when they're saying, well, you know, we're not counting casualties if you're shot in the wrong part of the head or people blown up by car bombs, and, you know, to try to sell this idea that things are going better or the surge is actually improving things, I just think it insults our intelligence.
Well, it's their perspective, and I know Dave Petraeus. He wouldn't say anything he didn't believe was true. But on the other hand, I mean, he's in a position like, as I think I said yesterday on the TV show. I mean, he's like the quarterback on a football team, and you put him in, you say, look, you gotta pull this game out, kid. And he says, yes, coach, yes, coach, yes, coach. And he goes charging in there, and he, you know, it's three downs now, and he comes back out and says, what do you think? Do you think the young quarterback is going to come to the coach and say, coach, I think that, you know, we ought to just forfeit the game right now because they're too big, they're too strong, and we have to save our resources for the team we're playing next week?
Right. Well, but I mean, speaking of, but that's the thing. I mean, the problem is, speaking of football, it's like they keep moving the goalposts. They're like saying, they need to reach these benchmarks. Then their own report says they haven't reached the benchmarks. And then they go, oh, we didn't say, no, not those benchmarks. They're not important now.
Yeah, but you understand which way they're moving them too, right?
Right.
It's like we're stuck at the 50-yard line and they move the goalposts from the end zone to the 10 to the 20 to the 30.
Well, you know what's going to have to happen. President Clinton and Vice President Clark are going to have to clean this up. That's what the plan is. I think.
Well, I don't know about the latter, but I'm sure that she'll be on the ticket and she'll be our nominee, and I do believe she'll be the president.
Well, I always try to trick you into slipping some information to me that you hadn't intended to.
He's too smart for that.
he's entirely too smart for me.
I have to listen to you just like your listeners do. I mean, listen closely to what Stephanie Miller says.
Thank you. Use that for a promo. General Clark orders you to listen to
Stephanie Miller.
General, what is happening with Iran? Is it me, or is there a ramp-up of rhetoric and all of the same things we heard before Iraq?
Well, there is a ramp-up of rhetoric because behind it, there's a real serious problem. If Iran gets a nuclear weapon, it's the end of a 50-year effort by the United States and most of the major powers in the world to prevent the proliferation, the spread of nuclear weapons. If Iran gets a nuclear weapon, there'll be 10, 15 new nuclear powers virtually overnight. The genie will really be out of the bottle at that point. And so it's not just the threat posed by Iran against its neighbors in the region. It's also the significance of Iran getting a nuclear weapon and what it does to global safety and stability. So the Iranians are trying to get one. We're looking at a clock. It may be a year, it may be 2 years, maybe 3 years. Nobody knows for sure. At some point, the time will come when you either take it out by force if you can, or you accept the fact that Iran is going to be a nuclear power and the genie's out of the bottle. And so we don't know when that time is, but this administration must think it's getting close because they're ramping up the rhetoric. All options are on the table. That's fine. But before we go to war, we must have done everything we can
General, head it off. We know what fans they are of diplomacy, clearly.
They have a hard time understanding diplomacy because diplomacy is not... I've been through the region, Stephanie. I've talked to people. I said, well, have you... These are friends of the United States now, and I've talked with foreign ministers and prime ministers and others, and they talk to me candidly and honestly, I think, mm-hmm. as much as, you know, they ever do to anybody. And I've said, so aren't you being consulted with? I said, occasionally the United States comes out and tells us what we must do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but
yeah.
They don't listen when we try to talk.
Right.
People have different ways of communicating, you mm-hmm. know. They're not all like Americans. So we always say, well, here's what you got to do, A, B, C.
Yeah.
Well, but people
don't,
in that, they
that's not diplomacy
like
to
that.
Be dictated to, exactly. They, well, you know what? You're going to fix that when you are Secretary of State in the Clinton administration, don't you think?
Well, listen, diplomacy is a tricky business, and nobody can promise any guarantees. But before we start rattling the sabers too much against Iran, we ought to seriously sit down and talk to them.
Absolutely. Well, just help me out here. If we had a play, if you were a betting man, would you say Vice President, Secretary of State, or Secretary of Defense? Which would you?
I don't know. I hear that ticker going off, and I don't know about that. I'm not playing those games.
You're just not giving up anything this morning.
He's too smart
I'm
for you.
I'm squeezing them.
This is too serious a business. Yeah,
I know.
You know, I mean, for me, it's about public service, and for me, it's about looking at where the country is and trying to keep the country from running off the rails.
I know.
I think eventually we'll find our way through Iraq, but only if we talk to the Iranians. And if we start a war with Iran, yes, of course, we can dominate Iran militarily. We can bomb it. We can create a failed state in Iran. Oh, but what good does that do us?
Exactly.
Yep, exactly. Oh, we always just appreciate your clear logic, and thanks so much for coming on with us. And the book is A Time to Lead. General Wesley Clark, thank you so much, General.
Thank you, Stephanie.
All right, there he goes, General Wesley Clark.